Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
In Louisiana, a rash of robberies taking place at ATMs leads to a crash and apprehension of one of two suspects. In Missouri, a convicted felon who bail jumped and murdered a police officer is sentenced to life in prison. And in Texas, arrest is made weeks after a 61-year-old's body is found in a ditch. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, July 11th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
Thirsty Thursday.
I'll be glad when I get off these antibiotics.
Yeah, should be couple more getting weeks. Close, huh? A couple more weeks still.
Yep. It's strong as shit, man.
Feeling better?
I feel great. I throw up probably twice a week from these antibiotics. Mm. And that's how strong they are.
But yeah.
I don't catch it just right with eating or not eating, but I feel a million times better, bro.
Really? That's good.
Life. But then I got to go back to the doctor to have my blood done. I get done this round of medicine, make sure that poisonous shit ain't in my blood anymore. But I'm good. And I'm ready for
feel
some
like a new man.
Right? I'm ready for some true crime time for Thursday.
All right, and we're going to start off in New Orleans. Two Nollins men are wanted for armed robbery have been arrested. The St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office and Mandeville Police Department issued warrants for those two men accused of armed robbery. And let me tell you what they were doing. On June 26th and June 28th, Mandeville police said two victims reported they were robbed at an ATM at the Capital One Bank in Mandeville. Once authorities obtained surveillance videos of one of the robberies, they were able to link the cases to similar robberies that have happened in other parishes. Those parishes include St. Tammany, Orleans, and Jefferson Parish. So you're talking five separate incidents with the same people. On Wednesday, the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office deputies saw a car that matched the description of the one seen in the robberies, and the vehicle was spotted at a bank in Jefferson Parish. Probably caught him right before. Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office deputies attempted to make a traffic stop when a chase began. That chase actually reached speeds of over 100 miles per hour. The car crashed inside the city limits of Slidell, which ended that chase. Officers then continued to search for the driver and passenger of the car on foot. Of course, several police agencies joined in, and canines located the men in a nearby wooden area. Police were able to catch the passenger, Vondell Newsom, who is 26, and he was taken into custody and booked into the Jefferson Parish Jail. The driver, Leonard Howard III, 20, was not caught, but later he did turn himself into St. Tammany detectives. Newsom has arrest warrants from St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office for armed robbery and misdemeanor flight, and Howard had arrest warrants from St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office for armed robbery, aggravated flight, and resisting an officer. So they have been captured, but it made me think about the safety issues with, you know, people when they go to banks, you talk about having your head on a swivel and right. all that, no matter where you're at. Right. But even, you know, I do find myself at ATMs, no matter what time of day it is, you know, if I'm getting out of the car, even if I'm in the car, I'm looking around. Because what these guys were doing was a little different than what you would think. They weren't getting out and holding you at gunpoint. One of them would block your way out, and they would choose banks that only have one way in and one way out, which they're not supposed to have. Right. They're supposed to have two. But they would choose banks where you would have no option except for to just stand there. Then they would get out of the car with the gun where you could not drive off.
Yeah. I wonder, in the last episode, we talked about the guy that got one, or wanted to get 1 cent out of the bank. So they're basically hidden people. They know were coming out
yeah.
to withdraw.
Yeah.
What if they were only getting one penny? And they had a bad day.
Picked the wrong one to rob. Golly, man. Because I guess you never know.
Yeah,
might be someone with 20 bucks in the bank.
Exactly.
You're like, dude, I need to rob you.
Right. And so, yeah. But maybe they, you know, that's the what they do and talk them.
Well, and you need to be very, and I'm sure most people know this, but be very aware when you're at ATMs because everybody that sees you at an ATM knows especially, one thing, you're withdrawing money.
Right, right, right. Especially those ones, and I imagine this is what they're talking about in the story, where they send the like the lobby after hours, not
between
the lobby, you know, outside lobby. We got
almost like the Sally Port
of a
bank.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so yeah, always have your head on a swivel, and you know they're not going to hit you if you're aware and just looking around.
That's right.
So let's go to Fort Bend County, Texas.
I hadn't heard of that.
Right? And a man has been arrested after a 61-year-old's body was found by construction workers in a ditch in Needville in June, and it's according to the Fort Bend County Sheriff's Office. On Tuesday, 33-year-old Emilio Cruz Jr. was arrested and charged with failure to stop and render aid in connection to Enrique Godinez's death. Investigators said Godinez's family filed a missing report with the Roseburg Police Department on May 28 after he had been missing since May the 19th. Officials responded to the incident on June 11th at around 1:13 p.m. In Needville. Deputies saw debris from a car nearby as well as a broken bicycle when they arrived on scene. Now, Godinez's body was taken to the Fort Bend County Medical Examiner's Office for autopsy. And furthermore, investigators said that a Lamar CISD police officer had reported an accident in the area on May 24th. Now, authorities say an FBCSO deputy arrived at the scene and spoke to the driver of the stalled vehicle. According to deputies, Cruz, who's the driver of the stalled vehicle, was named a person in the interest in the case. Cruz was arrested and booked in the Fort Bend County Jail, et cetera. Now, let me tell you about this. I had a case on the defense side recently. It happened right outside the gates of LSU. This guy was at home, and he's a young kid, recent college graduate, had a condo, had a good job working for one of these plants or something, and he had a company vehicle. But he had gone to Louisiana Tech, and he had a friend who was from Saudi Arabia that was one of his frat brothers in Louisiana Tech. And he was the frat brother was still up there partying and doing bad drugs and kind of shit like that. And he was like, I'm going to get him down here and try to sober him up a little bit. And, you know, he was letting him sleep on his couch and stuff like that. He said it was a Sunday night around 2 o'clock in the morning, I guess early Monday morning. And the friend came in the room and said, hey, man, get up. I think I hit something with my car. I hit the ditch with my car. And he said, where's your car at? He said, it was up on the levee, you know, off of Brightside, somewhere down in that area. He said, well, being a good friend, he got up and he said, come and help me get my car. And he got up and drove the guy back to the levee. He said, when he was going the levee, and it's all dark out there, and he's going down to the levee, he sees lights up on the levee. And y'all, if you're not from Louisiana or South Louisiana, levees, these fucking levees are big. Yeah. They're like 20, 30 feet up on a slope. He said he sees these car lights up on the side of the levee, and he sees all this debris and trash in the road. And he said, bro, is that your fucking car? He said, did you hit something? And the guy from Saudi says, oh, I don't know. I don't think I hit anything. And he said, man, fuck this. He said, I'm not getting involved in this. He turned around and drove back to his apartment. And he said there was shit in the road, debris and what have you, but he didn't see a body, right?
Yeah.
He said the next afternoon or the day after that, he gets a call from another friend of theirs, a female friend of theirs at Louisiana Tech. And she said, have you heard from whatever his name was, the guy from Saudi? He said, no. She said, well, he got a private jet out yesterday. His daddy flew a private jet in to get him. And then it came up. They found a body on the levee. All right. So the guy from Saudi, when his friend wouldn't help, he's like, you know, fuck it, there's nothing I can do for you. Your car's up there. I got to go to work in the morning, you know, what have you. And anyway, long story short, I got involved in the case and proved that he did not know that there was a body attached to the car. Yeah. And his brother was a lawyer and was a friend of my friend that's a lawyer. And he called his brother when he found out there was a body and the kid had fled the country. He was like, holy fuck, what I did. He said, well, the cops show up, don't say anything. You know, we'll walk you through the process. Well, the cops showed up with a search warrant and of course they didn't find anything at the condo. Long story short, he got charged with, you know, vehicular homicide. No, I'm talking about the kid that didn't have any involvement. The friend, look, if you came to my house 2 o'clock in the morning and said, boy, I wrecked my shit. It's up on the side of the levee. Come get me a ride back and help me get out. I'm going to help you. Yeah. Right? I'm going to think, well, maybe we can tow this motherfucker off and you don't get a DWI or whatever because the guy was fucked up. Yeah. You don't get a DWI or whatever. Doesn't make it right, but we ended up going to the DA and I was able to, you know, give the polygraph results and talk to the investigators. And they answered pretty hard questions for the kid. And they ended up dropping charges on him, and he's going to testify against the guy from Saudi Arabia. Wow. If he ever comes back.
Yeah, he ain't coming back.
Anyway, same kind of thing here. This guy hit him and left the scene, but he got stopped.
Yeah.
Now, right past where it had happened, the cop that stopped him didn't know there was a body in the ditch.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Wow. And – yeah, there's Saudi princes and stuff. Man, yeah, they got stupid money over there.
And you know he wasn't supposed to be over here drinking and doing drugs.
He called daddy
quick. That's against their religion.
Wow. Right? That's right.
And he's just all fucking ass.
Yep. All right. Well, I can't wait to get your take on this story I'm about to tell you. And this is straight out of Louisiana Penitentiary in Angola.
What?
A federal judge is giving Louisiana State Penitentiary a week to come up with a plan to protect prisoners working outside from extreme heat condition after advocates sued the Department of Corrections in June. Judge Brian Jackson issued a temporary restraining order that will prevent Angola officials from sending prisoners to work the farm line when heat index values reach or exceed 88 degrees. The state
88
must.
88 degrees, yep, fuck.
Yeah, they might as well work in January.
Yeah.
The state must send a memorandum detailing its proposed solutions. He issued his ruling on a day when the heat index was 118. Mm. Former inmate Terrence Wim was incarcerated at Angola for over 30 years, and he described the harsh conditions as working like a mule. If a horse falls out, you're going to come in. That's the only way you're going to come in. In his opinion, Jackson argued Angola fails to meet the minimum federal and state requirements for heat safety. The wealth of evidence here shows that incarcerated persons laboring on the farm line are not provided with shade, sunscreen, or required rest breaks. Further, the declarations from named plaintiffs uniformly provide that the breaks are seldomly given, that the water is dirty that they provide, and they are required to work beyond their physical capabilities, and that they are not provided with other necessary protective equipment. Linda Wright, an associate director of civil litigation at Promise of Justice Initiative and one of the attorneys for the plaintiffs, praised the ruling. Of course she would. And she said, today's ruling is a validation that the unconstitutional, inhumane conditions of forced labor that exist at Louisiana State Penitentiary will no longer stand unchallenged. The state prison system says it will appeal to the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, and the ruling comes as most of the state remains under either an extreme heat advisory, et cetera. West Feliciana Parish is under an excessive heat warning, meaning heat index values exceed 113 degrees. That changes from day to day, right. But what do you think?
I mean, they've been doing this for 142 years.
At least.
Do you remember the episode we did on Bloody Angola where they filed the suit because it was too hot on death row?
Yep.
And burrowed.
Washed down the walls with the water hose.
To get the temperature down before the inspectors came in. But I'm awesome. Pretty sure every one of those fuck sticks are out there for rape and murder, and you don't get sense of angle unless you get, usually get 80 years or more. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm pretty sure.
And if you're working the line, you're not a trustee either.
No, yeah, you're going to do your first 10 years working the line.
Yeah.
And but you're going to be there till you die. And, I get them filing lawsuits and all that, whatever. Judge Brian Jackson is pretty tough dude.
Yeah.
And they're going to look at it objectively, and I'm sure they'll give them more breaks and whatever. But you know what? It's big business, Hoss. They grow all that shit. They, for not only Angola, but for the Louisiana prison system, all the prisons, there's a lot of them. That's they all the vegetables and all the milk and all that bullshit comes from Angola.
And let me tell you, if you're waiting for it to be 88 degrees or less,
you can see it. Fuck.
They're not working in the summertime. Yeah, every day it's over 88 degrees.
Squirrel season starts October 1, and there's a lot of days I can't even squirrel hunt. In October,
yeah,
the end of October, because it's 90 degrees. Yeah,
and honestly, they've come along. It was 100 years ago they were putting them in sweat boxes. Yeah,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah, yeah. And if you died, they just got another inmate. I'm not. Whatever. I don't believe anybody should be tortured, but you know what? I don't believe anybody should be raped and murdered either.
That's right.
So
that's right.
I don't know if you call that torture.
We'll keep you posted on it, but.
Pretty sure if you don't want to be out there working in the field, you shouldn't have raped and murdered.
Probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be. I'll probably get some flack for that, but I don't really give a fuck about those assholes. Because I put them there, some of them, and I know what they did.
Yep.
Let's go. I can't get out of Texas, probably because of Leah Marie. But the
Leah.
Let's go to Rosenberg, Texas. And a man who was involved with a standoff with a SWAT team at a hotel in Rosenberg is accused of flooding the entire hotel during the standoff, causing millions of dollars worth of damage. Now, this dude evidently has been to prison before. You heard me talking about.
Yeah, he knows the process.
You go flood, you're on the working cell block, and you give them another charge. You got to take them out, put them on admin safety, or they flood their cell. So they give them a better chance of fighting, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, the Rosenberg Police Department said on Friday, June 28th, officers responded to a reported robbery at the Motel 6, where we leave the light on for you. when officers arrived, Landon Blaine Hutchins, 46, of Gonzales, not Louisiana, made threats against them and barricaded himself in a room. And he claimed to have multiple firearms and a child hostage, right? Let's see how this works out for him. While officers assessed the situation and evacuated the hotel, residents, and staff, Hutchinson began to cause extensive damage to his room. Throughout the incident, he continued to damage his room and ultimately flooded the entire hotel. The Fort Bend Regional SWAT team responded to the scene and determined Hutchinson was not holding a child hostage, and he refused to cooperate with negotiators. Not going in well for this motherfucker.
No.
SWAT members forcefully entered the room and took Hutchinson into custody, probably forcefully on all that. The department said the initial estimates show that Hutchinson may have caused more than $3 million in damage to the hotel. He was charged with a terroristic threat against a peace officer, arson, and criminal mischief greater than $300,000. Let me tell you something. I'm not against, if I'm driving in Wisconsin or something, or if I'm hauling ass somewhere and I get too tired to sleep or whatever, I'm not against pulling over, at a Motel 6, spending $80, to get 4 hours sleep and running on. I'm pretty sure there's not a fucking Motel 6 out there that costs $3 million.
There ain't one.
It must have been a big
Motel 6. Motel 6 about to get recessed lighting up in there. Leather couches and shit. Insurance paying for it.
$3 million. I guess he fucking kicked the pipes or something that flooded room to room. I don't fucking
know. And explain to the listeners here how you would flood a cell if you're an inmate.
They take the clothing off and shove it into the toilet and flush it. There's the airplane toilet. And they get it stuck in there, and then they keep hitting the flush button. The water keeps coming in. They turn on the sink water. They'll stop it up too, and it just floods over. Oh, it floods. Yeah, When you walk on the tear, you can see the whole fucking tears flooded down.
Right? That'll piss you off.
No, it's the day at the office, motherfucker. We gonna win.
Yeah.
So what you gonna do?
Yeah.
And now I get to come in there with electronic shock you shield in the water and see
beat
how,
that
first I'll go down there and spray you and get let that take effect for a few minutes and then but now you can't do all that. All that shit's on camera now.
Yeah.
Still interesting. Not the swim someone.
Yeah, know, not whatever. That you would not know.
I have
swim
any direct knowledge about that. Right. Somebody wants to see me.
Well, we're going to get to a more serious story here, and we're going to bring you to St. Louis, and a 47-year-old man will spend the rest of his life behind bars for fatally shooting a police officer, critically injuring another, and wounding a homeless man. June 27th, a judge sentenced Thomas Kenworthy to life in prison without the possibility of parole for the August 2020 murder of St. Louis Metro Police Officer Tamaris Bahanan. A jury convicted him in May of murder, armed criminal action, and assault for shooting and severely injuring a St. Louis Metro officer by the name of Orlando Bailey and Mark Smith, a homeless man who was rummaging through dumpsters in the area. Smith died in 2023 from an unrelated cause. According to prosecutors, Kenworthy came to St. Louis in 2020 after he had jumped bail in Florida. Several days.
So Woody, exactly 10 years ago today, the family, we took this awesome trip through the Mediterranean. We went to Venice, Dubrovnik, Athens, Kusadasi, Naples, Rome, Marseille. But you know what would have made that trip even better?
What would have made the trip even better, Aga?
If I would have known about Rosetta Stone prior to the trip, a little bit of prep with their true accent feature, and I might have cut a better deal with the gondola guy in Venice. I might have found an easier way up the Acropolis in Athens, or actually, I might have bought a beer in the Colosseum in Rome.
You know better. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert in language learning for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. There are no English translations, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Rosetta Stone's intuitive processes let you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention, and Rosetta Stone is convenient with apps that let you download lessons like you do episodes of The Wow.
Well, and right now, it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership, which is the one that I've got, gives you 25 languages from now until forever. The lifetime access to all 25 language courses is 50% off right now. There's no better time than right now to get started. RLRC Original, The Daily Show, and The Wow listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. All you got to do is visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Days later, the convicted felon reportedly shot Smith, who sought help at a nearby residence and had the homeowners call law enforcement. The DA's office said Kenworthy walked into the home and the owner safely exited through the back. Kenworthy reportedly barricaded himself inside the bathroom armed with a gun. When officers responded, Kenworthy fired a single shot through the bathroom and hit Bohannon in the head. Officers transported Bohannon to the hospital and he died the following day. Kenworthy also reportedly shot Bailey, striking him in the leg when he tried to protect himself behind a vehicle. A police standoff ensued for approximately 12 hours as negotiators tried to convince Kenworthy to surrender. The SWAT team used a chemical irritant before they eventually forced entry and took Kenworthy into custody. Police announced Kenworthy's arrest in September of 2020 on first-degree murder. And Bohannon's family members, including his parents, sisters, wife, and their children, made impact statements during the hearing describing their grief The attorney's office said Kim Worthy didn't take responsibility and he never apologized to Bahanan's family. He reportedly lashed out verbally at prosecutors. So he will spend the rest of his life in jail, which is probably the best thing that can happen to him. I'm surprised there's no death penalty here.
It should be.
But I'll tell you, showing no remorse, absolutely none.
No remorse.
As he was sentenced and was jumping bail. That's how he ended up in that situation.
Well, I mean, I don't know. That's why they build prisons and that's why they have the death penalty, right?
Yeah. You know, it surprised me, Woody, that this is an incident involving a police officer. And we know that becomes something that is pushed in the media very heavily. And not that any one person is more important than another. All humans' lives are valuable. But when it's a police officer, it dominates headlines.
Because pushing it out and it just how it is. Right?
Yeah. I'm surprised it took so long.
Yeah.
August of 2020. So you're right smack in the middle of COVID. I guess that's what slowed everything down. But 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
Before that family even saw that, you know, you don't see justice, but they saw this person have to pay for it. But I'm glad they did.
Right. And it never brings them back. You know, I don't know. You know, we were just talking about the guy that got hit in Texas and the case that I had worked, et cetera. And, you know, I want to tell you about one more. And we're going back to Texas again. The
Tejas.
And this is recent. A man was arrested and charged in connection with a fatal hit and run incident that resulted in the death of the 10-year-old boy on the 4th of July.
Mm.
Alex Tuan Buong, 36, has been charged with failure to stop and render aid, which is a second-degree felony. The incident happened shortly before 11 p.m. on July the 4th. That's according to Harris County Sheriff's Office. Again, that's the Houston area, y'all. And that's according to their Vehicular Crimes Division. Vuong was driving an SUV north on Concord Green when he struck the young boy who was riding his bicycle. Instead of stopping to assist the injured child, Vuong fled the scene, dragging the bicycle for a short distance before it became dislodged, throwing sparks and all that. Responding officers found the boy lying in the intersection of Windy Stone and Concord Green. The little boy was airlifted to a trauma center via Life Flight, where Captain Kenneth Bean says he died from his injuries moments later. Detectives located the boy's bicycle at Greenhouse in Keith Harrow, approximately a half mile from the crash scene. And Wong has been charged, unless he admits to it or some witness comes forward. I guess he won't catch the murder charge, but they can admit with forensics and everything else that, I mean, should he drag the bike for a half a mile, they're going to have the damage and the stuff that matches.
Oh, yeah.
The
bike and the half a mile, and man. That's a long way.
I guess he was real fucked up or he just was scared and didn't care.
Wow.
Prayers go out to the young boy's family, the 10-year-old's family.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we talk about, or you talk about it especially on working cases from the inside out as it relates to family, and then you go to friends, and then you go to acquaintances, and when you have these murders and these disappearances and things like that. And, you know, a lot of times, even though the husband had nothing to do with it, you start there.
Right.
That, you know,
absolutely.
The last person that saw them alive in most cases.
Yeah. Start somewhere, right?
Right. So an Arizona man who reported his wife missing last week has confessed to killing her and pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. A guy by the name of Daniel Padjewski, who is 58, told police that his wife, Kelly, never returned from a run and a swim in what Flagstaff Police Department said Friday was an attempt to misdirect police resources. That's very politically correct way of putting it.
Right.
Send them on a wild goose chase is what I would probably verbalize that as. But He was arrested Monday for aggravated assault, and his wife's remains were found on Friday morning following a nearly week-long search effort. Daniel Paduski pled guilty to second-degree murder, tampering with evidence, concealment of a dead body, and possession of dangerous drugs, that from the county sheriff's office. Tunick said the plea deal requires Paduski to serve a 16-year term in the Arizona Department of Corrections. I was really surprised to see that short term. That was a heck of a deal for Paduski. Which is the presumptive sentence for second-degree murder under Arizona law. Another surprise. Yeah. Second-degree murder here is automatic life, no parole, right?
Absolutely.
He added that he won't be eligible for early release of any kind. As part of that agreement, the defendant provided information leading us to Kelly Paduski, the deceased victim, including her phone, keys, and murder weapon. Investigators previously said that on Sunday, June 30th, the day that Kelly went missing, cell phone data from Kelly's phone was traced back to the area of the Schultz Creek trailhead, where Daniel was seen in the area around the same time on the same day. Police also interviewed family members and other witnesses throughout the course of the investigation and determined earlier this week that evidence from their house showed that he had assaulted her. This is obviously a monumental tragedy for Kelly's family and her loved ones, the police department said. We have been in close communication with Kelly's family throughout the process, which we pursued to bring finality to a situation that weighed heavily on the community. You know, this one really struck me as something to report, obviously, because of the short. I mean, 16 years is nothing.
Yeah,
that's nothing for murder.
Yeah.
So that really pissed me off, kind of. And then, you know, the only sense I can make out of that is it sounds like they're saying it's part of that plea bargain. He led us to the body.
Yeah.
Which
I guess they get some closure, but I mean,
Do they talk to the families about this first and say, hey, we can probably find that, get him to lead us to that body, but we're going to have to give him a light sentence.
They certainly would have talked to the family, and I'm sure the family is happy to have the body for burial, and there'll be no appeals now and all that.
Right? Yeah.
Because he took the plea bargain. So it's 16 years. And how old was this guy?
He was, I believe they said 54.
So that's
58.
So that's 68 and 6. 74. It's pretty much a death penalty.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, rest of his life is done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's like, you don't never know with plea bargains, but yeah, they definitely would have consulted the family.
So. I'm surprised they don't, you know, it seems like their second degree murder.
Different everywhere.
Yeah, right? It just seems light, man.
Different everywhere. It's crazy. But you know, you are usually the one who comes up with these stories about new scams and shit like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I got one for you.
All right.
Stop me if you've done it or you've heard it. So let's go out to Colorado. And a trio of depraved armed robbers posing as delivery men barged into a Colorado family's home and attacked two children in what could be an alarming new trend. So that's what the police say.
Police
expert says.
Yeah.
The kids' anguished parents, who were not at home at the time of the June 12th home invasion, witnessed the fake delivery men enter their house on a Ring doorbell. So you're getting all the technology, right? Mm-hmm. The parents are getting to see it. Well, can you imagine? You're fucking sitting in work here.
No.
And, I mean, you know. It's going to be a shit show.
Oh, my God.
The men attacked the babysitter and assaulted two children, a 14-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy, and it's according to a release from the Aurora Police Department. It's an old crime with a new twist, said retired NYPD Sergeant Joseph Giacalone, who is a professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. These guys are always looking for a new way to get into your house, and I'm sure police are very worried about whether this is a growing pattern. A tactic criminals once used was trying to gain access to a home by posing as utility workers. However, this approach is no longer effective with workers wearing distinct uniforms and carrying ID cards. the terrifying Colorado home invasion that took place about 10 miles from downtown Denver is the latest in a string of robberies involving fake delivery workers. The ordeal unfolded a little after 8:30 p.m. One of the suspects approached the door wearing a bright orange vest and carrying a box, according to the footage of the Ring doorbell camera. They were dressed in construction vests and claimed they were there to drop a package off. The suspects were holding a package and waited for the residents of the home to open the door. The Aurora Police Department said this. And when they did, the suspects forced their way in and robbed the family. One of the people inside the home opened the door slightly, and the man wearing the vest immediately pushed his way in. He then began yelling at the two his two accomplices in Spanish that he had gained access. Now, the Ring camera footage showed one of the men holding what appeared to be a gun in his hand as he barged into the home, and another suspect exiting a car that was idling outside to join them. The teen girl was touched inappropriately during the roughly 1 minute ransacking, which netted the thieves jewelry and cash, right? The babysitter and young boy were also shoved into the ground during the break-in. The homeowners called police after being alerted to intruders by the Ring camera, and the kid's mom said her son, who can be seen crying after police arrive, is badly traumatized by the incident. You would expect that.
Of course.
Their mother said she was deeply frightened by the attack, and she fears long-term damage to the kids. Now, police departments across the country have warned homeowners to be careful about opening their doors to strangers after a spate of home invasions. A burglar posing as a DoorDash driver was killed last year in Indiana when the homeowner pulled out a gun and shot him. Sorry for him. In November,
good for that homeowner.
Right. In November, a pair of armed robbers posed as delivery men and forced their way into a New York City home to steal $70,000 in valuables. The victims were bound in duct tape. Now, a fake delivery man donned in an orange fluorescent vest and clutching a manila envelope tried to storm into a Connecticut home with a gun last year, but the owner shoved him and slammed the door. Good for him. Gia Cologne said the most important precaution to prevent something terrible from happening to your home family is to verify the identity of the delivery person. Look, I was outside yesterday, Saturday evening, coming to get from something from an outdoor kitchen. A van pulled right up in the driveway, and then it turned out it was fucking Prime or whoever, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, he said, if someone knocks on the door saying you need to sign for a package, request to see their ID, whether through a window, a peephole, or a door camera. Homeowners, he added, should also peer out their windows to ensure there's a UPS or Amazon truck parked nearby.
Crazy. Becoming an increasingly problematic thing. Mm-hmm. And as delivery stuff becomes more common, these occasions, of course, criminals, they look for every edge they can find. Yep. Now you can get Walmart delivered to your house.
Oh, my God. Man, I bet we get 15, 20 deliveries a week.
Yeah.
And all of Walmart,
from everywhere.
All Amazon, you name it, we get it delivered.
Right. And I'll tell you what, I've got a front door, and I haven't opened that front door in probably 10 years.
Yeah.
Every delivery person knocks on that front door, and what I do, and I tell my family, if I'm not there, don't go to it, let them leave it.
Yeah.
But what I do is I literally go out my back door and walk all the way around the side of my house and come up behind them. Every single time. I've never had a problem, but I'll guarantee you if someone's in there to do some wrong, I'm going to see a weapon in their hand, gun in their hand or something. And I'm coming from behind them, and 9 times out of 10, I scare the piss out of them because I'm like, hey, and they turn around like, oh, shit. But just something I've always done, and had become a habit. So it may be something people want to look into, but I want to say something on the delivery side of what you just mentioned, because I read this the other day and it just blew my mind. Do you know that Walmart, and I know Amazon is one of them, there's some other big company that they are experimenting with doing deliveries, and they do this in several states already, with drones.
I know. I saw
that. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, I guess
the drone just drops it off and flies off.
Flies away. They have to be a big motherfucking drone to come to my house. Three or four times a week, Walmart.
He's parked the drone in your house.
And I rib Cindy all the time. I'm like, you know, God damn, what did you do before Walmart had delivery? You know, it's been several years ago now, and I was watching because I get alerts
from
Walmart. Oh, your order is this to this. I'm like, oh. Then I got one for, it was like two items.
Yeah.
And then I look, and they tipped the driver like $5 but then I got to looking, it wasn't even my wife. It was my son when he was still in college, and he's ordering. He's using the service to order Walmart delivery. I'm like, motherfucker, you live a mile from Walmart. Get your ass in that truck I pay for and go over there and get it. And he ended up graduating. He's got a great job and everything now. But I don't know, man. I don't remember. I think I've been to Walmart like maybe once during hunting season or something in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, everything. And look, I tried DoorDash for the first time about 3 months ago, and I wish I never would have, because I want to do.
And, you know, I have the annual membership with them, but I do it mostly for when I'm out of town in hotels.
Yeah.
Because it's like food porn.
And you can sit there and watch it.
Coming to your house. They want it coming and everywhere. But I do it a lot in the hotels, and that way I don't have to fuck around with going to a restaurant or whatever. I get back to the room, have them deliver it. I mean, but it seemed, can you imagine what it was like, or can you remember what it was like fucking 20 years ago?
I do,
but internet or 25, however long it's been. Shit, man, it may have been 30 years now.
Well, I've talked about it in the past, but I was talking about it with a buddy the other day, how Netflix started with the little paper DVDs.
I remember that.
But they would mail to your house.
You had to return them.
Yeah.
Well, I remember going to Blockbuster was my jam, your local movie store, and getting the VHS tapes.
Be packed in there.
And they were like, oh, man.
New movie come out? Yeah, everybody's going.
And then when Netflix just started, I'm like, this shit ain't going to work. And then there you go. And then, you know, here we are today.
Here we are today, man. Yeah. And it's the most dominating streaming service in world history.
Well, I've got all the streaming services. I got Netflix and Hulu and Paramount and Apple.
Amazon really Prime.
Apple TV's got the shit on it, bro. They're not as well known, but they got some great shit on it.
They do. And look, my streaming service that we use at home is actually YouTube TV, which is also very good.
I have the
live channels.
Fubo has all the live, but I keep it for sports because it has pretty much every sport event in the world on it. I mean, I'm telling you, I bet we pay way more in subscriptions than we ever paid for cable. You paid $129 for cable back in the day. You had 400 channels, but it wasn't like it is now.
You try to get the cable guy to give you a deal.
Yeah.
Free. Give me HBO for free. in the day.
But you know, back to it, and we'll end it with this, is It's like podcasts, and everybody wants on-demand entertainment when they want it. It's like going to look at TikTok, which I'm not that into, but but everybody else is.
Yeah.
Everybody in my house watching TikTok, and I need to watch, but I got so many other wormholes I'm down. It's hard to get to the TikTok, but
I can't fit one more in my life. If another social media comes out,
that's it.
Forget it. I can't fit no more.
Keep up with the ones I got now.
Yeah, you're right. But, well, anyway, we have come to the end of another show.
Mm-hmm. For real, for real. And we love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. And thank you for liking, listening, sharing. Y'all remember, because I get these comments. I got one from one of the longest term lifers yesterday. Said, where can I find part two of what happened? Whatever I named that episode. I'm like, or she said, do I have to pay for it? I'm like, no, it's been out a week and a half, and it's the same where
you
want to listen to everything else for 5 or 6 years. But the original still drops on Saturday, y'all.
Saturday, and it's notated Real Life, Real Crime Original. Let's say RLRC Original.
And that takes some getting used to. And I guess we've been doing this for a year and a half or so now, and mixing the shows on the feed and all that, but whatever. And that's it. Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all.
Thanks absolutely. So and until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.